北京 ，we are ready。
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 北京
，we are ready。
北京 ，we are ready。
I think Beijing is ready. You know who else is ready? Human Rights Watch. The watchdog group is hoping the Beijing Olympics will give it a chance to highlight human rights issues in the communist country. So 157 days from the opening ceremonies, what concerns are at the top of Human Rights Watch list? Mickey Warden is the media director of Human Rights Watch and editor of the forthcoming book, China's Great Leap, the Beijing Games and Olympian Human Rights Challenges. She worked in Hong Kong for 6 years, as well as in D.C. at the U.S. Justice Department. Hi, good morning, Mickey.
Good morning.
Okay, can you describe for me what your role is within Human Rights Watch as it relates to the Beijing Games?
Sure. Well, Human Rights Watch has a team of people who have worked on China, in some cases for close to 20 years. And we've done also about 20 years of reports on human rights issues in China, everything from your sort of classic political freedoms to religious freedom, the death penalty, HIV/AIDS, internet censorship. So we've done really 20 years of work, and we identified the Olympics as a moment when there would be probably the greatest opportunity in 30 years, in the last 30 years, to encourage China in the right direction, to press it forward on reform in across a range of areas. And as Melinda Liu said, this really is a moment when the spotlight is going to be on China. Obviously, there's a huge press component. So as to my role, there are 30,000 journalists who are going to Beijing to cover the games. Melinda Liu is in the smallish set of journalists who are permanently based in China. But many of them are sports reporters, they're editors, they're people who don't speak the language and who haven't spent a lot of time studying the intricacies of the system since Mao's day.
So there's that long list you mentioned. I know it goes on and on. If you could pick, I'm going to say two issues that could possibly improve as the result of China being watched by the world and those 30,000 journalists, which two do you think?
Well, I'd have to start with press freedom, and there are a lot of reasons for that.
Because the media loves to report on itself, first of all. I'll say that up front.
there's that, but this was one area where China made clear public pledges, public commitments, and it's also contractually obligated by their Olympic contract to allow journalists, quote, full freedom to report. So this was one area that we identified as a major opportunity. Many friends in press freedom groups like the Committee to Protect Journalists have done the same. Last January, the Chinese government put in place new so-called temporary regulations that allow journalists greater freedoms to report inside China. But there are some important restrictions on that. First of all, it's only foreign journalists. The vast majority of journalists working in China today are actually Chinese.
Sure.
And one other problem is that the regulations aren't being entirely upheld. You know, what were these changes? Most people don't realize that inside China, if you wanted to interview anyone, you needed government permission.
And you'll probably, likely, many of these journalists will still have minders.
These journalists still have minders. I mean, there's another important class of people who work in China in the journalism profession, and those are Chinese assistants or Chinese aides, many of them working Chinese journalists, working for overseas reporters. So they're actually the ones, they're not covered by these new temporary regulations. They have possibly fewer protections than before, and they're therefore more vulnerable, because what's going to happen is all of these foreign reporters come from around the world. They don't speak the language. The first thing they're going to do when they get there is hire a Chinese journalist to show them where an HIV/AIDS village is or where an environmental catastrophe is. And when that happens, there's definite potential for the Chinese aides or the Chinese fixers to get into big trouble.
Sure. I want to talk to you about a quote from, you told Human Rights News, quote, Olympic corporate sponsors are putting their reputations at risk unless they work to convince the Chinese government to uphold the human rights pledges it made to get the games, to bring the games to Beijing. And it seems that you want corporate entities to exert pressure on China. But is that realistic considering China's huge economic presence?
Well, every one of the so-called top Olympic sponsors, there are a dozen of those, and then there are a number of other suppliers. The top Olympic sponsors are Coca-Cola, Eastman Kodak, McDonald's, Johnson & Johnson, Visa, and a number of international companies. Suppliers are Microsoft, NBC, which, for instance, has the franchise. And it's entirely reasonable to ask them to do this because their corporate reputations are at stake. Just to return, for example, to the press freedom question, you know, there actually is tremendous possibility for reform and opening here, particularly for the companies, let's just take NBC or take Microsoft, who work in the information sphere. Because of their sponsor or supplier relationship to the game, they're uniquely positioned to take up this question of, for example, extending the temporary regulations to Chinese journalists, not to turn the screws on Chinese fixers. So they are it's manifestly in their own self-interest to do it, but two, if we succeed in creating an environment where there are greater freedoms before the games, it will be that much harder to roll them back after the games leave town. When the Olympics are over, Human Rights Watch is still going to be working on human rights in China. These companies are still going to be doing business in China. If anything, they're hoping to do more.
So this doesn't end after August, is what you're saying. Mickey Warden is the media director of Human Rights Watch and the editor of the forthcoming book, China's Great Leap, The Beijing Games and Olympian Human Rights Challenges. Thanks, Minky.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, coming up on the BPP, when you quit the race for president, what do you do with all that leftover money?
And two people try to take a 1,000-day boat trip, literally. One of them, she got super sick, had to get off the boat. She's going to join us in the studios very shortly. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.